Thank you, Jake. Now, if you have your Bible, will you turn with me to the Gospel according to Luke, the 8th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke, and we'll begin in the 22nd verse there. Gospel according to Luke, chapter 8, verse 22. Now, it happened on a certain day that while he got into a boat with his disciples, and he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side of the lake." And they launched out, but as they sailed, he fell asleep. And a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him and said, "Master, Master, we are drowned. We are going to drown." Then he arose. He rebuked the wind and the raging sea, and they ceased, and there was a calm. But he said to them, "Where is your faith?" And they were afraid and marveled, saying to one another, "Who can this be? For he commands the winds and the water, and they obey." Would you join with me for a moment of prayer? Father, we ask now that you would take this time. Father, though we are separated, we are before you. And I pray, Father, that in this time, you will take your words and you will meet the needs of each heart, of each person that listens. Thank you for this opportunity to look to your word. Thank you for the changes you're going to make in our lives. Thank you for the hope that we have in you. In these things we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, yes, these are strange days. Whether you like it or not, whether you admit it or not, we are in a pandemic. The coronavirus, COVID-19, has for the greater part brought our nation to a halt. My first awareness of this virus being serious was not really when I heard about it over in China, because that's China. It really wasn't when I heard that Europe was beginning to have outbreaks, because that was Europe. It wasn't so much when Seattle had the problem, because, wow, that's way out west. Then California, then New York. When I knew that things were really serious was when I drove past Chick-fil-A and they had closed their dining room. I couldn't believe it. There was something real going on. And indeed, there was something that was going to shake our very nation. Now, in Columbus, Georgia, all of our restaurant dining rooms have been closed. Our children and teens find themselves out of schools with the college students. Many companies have closed their regular business hours and have gone to working at home. Churches around the world, like Northside Baptist Church, are cooperating with a greater purpose to seek to help our nation, cooperating with the thought of keeping the infection down and stopping the spread of this virus, so that this virus may be quickly defeated and we may get back to our lives. We are told to avoid close contact. Well, we're doing a pretty good job of that. We're told to cover our mouths when we cough or sneeze, to take special precaution to stay at home. Stay at home, especially if you're sick. Wipe down, disinfect all hard objects. And wash your hands. Wow. I think my mama taught me that a long time ago, but perhaps we still need another lesson. This is a time when we should all pray. It is my prayer that you will avoid the coronavirus, COVID-19. It is my prayer that God will deliver you, your family members. But there's something you're not going to be able to avoid, and that's storms. Our passage tells us that today, and the reality is storms are going to come into your life, and whether you want to admit it or not, the reality is we are in a storm right now, right here in Columbus, Georgia. This storm is not only for us, but it is a storm that has included us. Storms come. Dr. Luke relates a story from the life of Jesus, and in that story, we find storms come. You will find this same story over in Matthew 8 and in Mark 4. The story's simple. Jesus had a really busy day with the disciples. He gets up early before it is even daylight, and he goes out to pray, and then he works hard all the day. It's late in the day. He's tired. He wants to be on the other side of the Sea of Galilee in the morning. It's either get up early again in the morning and make the trip or make it now. It seems better to make it now, and they have a choice. They can do the trek, the overland trek, which is very long, very arduous, all the way around the Sea of Galilee to get where he wants to be, or they can take a much shorter, much easier boat trip. In their group were fishermen, men that were avid seamen. So the decision was made quite simple. They would take a boat, and they would go over to the other side. And while they were in the boat, Jesus went to sleep. Yes, the disciples were working a little bit. Yes, they were getting the boat to cross the water, but Jesus was sleeping. That had really been his plan all along. You see, Jesus knew what it was to get hungry. He knew what it was to be thirsty, and he knew what it was to get tired and to need sleep. I heard one preacher say that at some point or another, almost everybody goes to sleep in church. Maybe that's happened to you. If you're at home, wake up. This is a day when people sometimes, and I will admit, I see people from time to time nod off here at church. But while people sometimes go to sleep, they generally don't make it their plan. There could not be much difference in sleeping through a storm at sea and sleeping through a sermon at church. When people lay down on a pillow, though, they have intended to go to sleep. The scriptures tells us over in Mark that Jesus laid his head on a pillow. Fortunately, I've not seen too many people bringing pillows to church. Jesus slept on that pillow. They actually had to wake him up. Now, this story has some additional information over in Mark and in Matthew. In each one, they tell the story with little bits of difference. I believe they are all true. But we read of the frantic cry to Jesus in little differences. In Matthew 8:25, "Lord, save us, we are going to drown." In Mark 4:38, "Master, don't you care if we drown?" And of course in Luke 8:24, "Master, Master, we are going to drown." I don't have to choose between the three. I think they said everything. Have you ever been in a panic situation? Everybody's crying out. Everybody's wanting help in their own way. There is a constant in these texts, though, and that is drown, drown, drown. Neither one of them's very good. They all end up in the same place. They all end up with the disciples and Jesus drown. Then Jesus woke up. He was calm, not panicked. He wasn't hurried. He was deliberate. He spoke to the wind and he spoke to the sea, and he simply said, "Peace, be still." Immediately the storm ceased and the waters were calm. The disciples were absolutely awed, as they should have been. when you think of the enormity of the power unleashed by Jesus, his control of the very wind and the sea, his ability to keep his followers safe even in the midst of a great storm, it's amazing. You know, it's amazing that all of that could take place in a very small amount of scripture. In this brief passage, we have some amazing messages, some things for us right now as we are in a storm. We find the surety of storms in verse 23. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water, and they were in jeopardy. Storms in the Sea of Galilee kind of go together, just like the reality of storms in life go together. The Bible does not speak a lot about storms on the Sea of Galilee. Now, you may remember hearing about storms on the Sea of Galilee often. Would it surprise you to know that there are only two times when God relates to us storms on the Sea of Galilee? Brother Jerry, I remember a whole lot more than two storms on the Sea of Galilee. No, you remember two storms on the Sea of Galilee that we heard multiple times. You see, there are three places where we hear of the two storms, and so that is six tellings of the same two storms. You know what I know about storms? I know that when they come up and they happen to you, you remember them. I know that when you remember them and when they've been had a real impact on your life, you tell other people about them. And so from a few storms, you get many tellings. And just like in your life, as you recount the storms that you have had, I am sure for years ahead we'll be telling about the storm of COVID-19. The impact of the storm is greater when you've been there, when you're in the midst of the storm. It's been said there are only three stages in life. You are either in a storm, you're coming out of a storm, or you're going into a storm. Well, I found that to be true. Storms happen all through your life, all sizes of storms, all severity of storms. You can be right in the middle of a storm. Maybe you've realized that's where we are today. Now, some of you are trying to do the right thing. Some of you are trying to follow God as closely as you can. You have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You're trying to do the right things. You're trying to obey God's will, and yet you are still in a storm. It is possible to be in the middle of God's will and still be in a storm. Matthew 4:45 says that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he makes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and he sends rain on the just and on the unjust. You see, storms come to those that are right, and it comes to those that are wrong. We need to be on the right side of that. Jesus directed the disciples to get into the boat. They weren't out of God's will. They were in God's will. Jesus told them where they were supposed to be, what they were supposed to do, and they were doing exactly as Jesus had instructed. You know, today we need to make sure we're doing what Jesus has instructed us to do, even though we're in a storm. James 1:2 says, "My brothers, count it all joy when you fall into various trials." James tells fellow believers that they're going to happen upon various problems. That word various actually means many colored. There are all colors of storms. There are all types of difficulties. I don't know what color this storm is, but I know it's a storm. Listen, Christian, you will have all kinds of difficulties come into your life even though you know Jesus as your Savior. Now, I know there are those out there that say you come to Jesus, you never have another problem, but you don't find that in the Bible. There are those that say if you obey God, follow God, you won't have difficulties. Did it ever occur to you that Jesus was perfect, walked without any sin any time in his life, and he was nailed to a cross? Yes, difficulties can come even if you're doing the right things, even if you're following God. And we find ourselves in this storm, and hopefully you're following God in the storm. James tells us all kinds of storms will come. Now, storms are not reserved for those that are walking with Jesus. Sometimes storms come into our lives because we're being disobedient to God. We may know God and we may be disobeying God, and in that disobedience, God brings a storm. There's a case in the Bible about that. The man's name was Jonah. Jonah was told by God he was supposed to go to Nineveh and preach to the people of God. Instead of going to God, he went in full rebellion mode. He ran away from God as fast as he could. He went down to the seashore. He got onto a boat and he set sail to get away from God. At first, everything was calm. Everything was good. He was on the boat. He was sailing away, and then the storm hit. Jonah found himself in a storm because he was out of the will of God. By the way, every time you decide to turn your back on God, every time you decide to go the other way than God has directed, every time you are headed toward a storm. Jonah found himself in a well of a mess. In Jonah's case, that storm was for discipline. That storm was to pull him back to God's will. So we see in life, we're going to have storms. The believer can have storms. You can have storms if you're following the Lord. And if that's you, if you're following the Lord and you have a storm, pray that God will accomplish his purpose in that storm in you. Pray that God's will be accomplished, that you will grow to be all that you need to be, that you will have the impact you're supposed to have even through the storm. Don't waste a storm. You know, God can teach us some things through the storm that we're never going to learn any other way. And so take the opportunity to learn. Take the opportunity to have God grow your life, to have God bless your life even through the storm. If you are saved and you're out of God's will, you know, really, you know that. You know there's things in your life that don't belong there, that you've been living apart from what God desires you to be. Maybe you've been taking time off from worship. Maybe you've been taking time off from seeking to pray. Maybe you've ignored God and God's will in your life. You know Jesus, but you also know that you're not being the person Jesus wants you to be. Well, then if you are in a storm, my friend, it's to wake you up. It's to get your attention. It is directed at bringing you back to Jesus. Wouldn't it be wise in the coronavirus days to wake up to Jesus? How do you get back to Jesus? You confess your sins to him. You ask him to cleanse you. He will do exactly that. Jesus still died for all of your sins. And if you will ask him, he will forgive and he will reset you in your life. And that storm can actually become a blessing to you. If you are not saved, that is, you've never invited Jesus to be your Savior, you're never turn your back on your sin and turn toward Jesus and ask him to save your soul. If that is you, my friend, then you are what we call lost. And if you are in a storm as a lost person, you are in that storm as a lost person so you can wake up to who Jesus is, so you can know what Jesus can do and what he has done for you. You are in a storm so that you can come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. because that is the greatest thing that can ever happen to you. Listen, if you come to know Jesus as a result of this COVID-19 virus, then it is going to be the greatest virus that has ever come for you. It will make the greatest change in you, not for a day, not for a week, but it will change all your eternity. This is certain. If you have life, you will have storms. There's a surety of the storms. There's a suddenness of the storms. In verse 23, again, it says, "But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake." Storms don't always advertise they're coming. You know, here comes the storm, here comes the storm. They just show up. Sometimes storms come, and we could have never dreamed that it was going to take place. On the Sea of Galilee, storms come fast. There can be time when the waters are flat, very, very calm, and in just a few moments, the waves can be raging. When we hear the word sea, most of us think Atlantic Ocean, Pacific Ocean. If you live in this part of the world, we think Gulf of Mexico. Yeah, not a sea, it's a gulf, but we call it a sea. Likewise, in the Sea of Galilee, they call a sea, but it's not a sea. It's really a lake. It's a freshwater lake. It's 13 miles wide, 13 miles long, 7 miles wide. Its deepest part, well, it's pretty deep, 165 feet deep. It is the lowest freshwater lake in the earth. It lies in the Jordan Valley at 696 feet below sea level. It's a low lake. There are hills on the east and there are hills on the west. Those hills go up 1,000 feet. Now, the temperature on top of the hill is much different from the temperature on the surface of the lake. On the surface of the lake, it can be very tropic. Way up on the hill, it's a lot cooler. When that wind rushes down that hill and collides with the warmer air at the bottom, it begins to swirl. And that swirling kicks up the waves. There are gorges, and the wind comes down the gorge, and that turns the wind so that it hits the wave in such a way that it becomes greater. In just a very short time, flat water can become stormy water on the Sea of Galilee. Several years ago, I was on the Sea of Galilee. It's been my privilege to be there twice. The first time I was there, we had set a schedule to get on a boat to cross over to the other side. But when we went to get on the boat, we were told we couldn't do it. We couldn't do it because the waves were too large for the boat to come into the dock. We went away for half the day. We came back and the water was perfectly flat. We got on the boat, we went across the boat. That night, as we were eating, we actually ate at a dockside restaurant. The waters were coming up onto the dock. You see, the Sea of Galilee and storms kind of go together. Storms can come very quickly. I heard about a tour group that was there at the Sea of Galilee. They were staying where I stayed in Tiberias, and they were there back from the water, and they were talking about how flat the water was. They were arguing about the fact that no storm could really come up that quickly. And as they talked, the wind began to blow, and as they talked, the water began to kick up, and before they knew it, they had been drenched by the waves of that flat lake. And they were 200 yards away from the shore. You see, storms in the Sea of Galilee can go together. The most traumatic storms we have come up suddenly. I don't know about your life, but in my life, I've had some sudden storms. It was just a phone call. Everything was going good, a good day. I was in seminary, and I got a phone call. Picked up the phone. In a minute's time, my world changed. My father was a firefighter. He had been killed fighting a fire. I had had many days in life when my dad went out to fight a fire. He always came back. On this day, he went out to fight the fire, and he died. That phone call took just a few moments, but it changed my entire life. Maybe you've had a storm like that. A storm come up very quickly, a storm you could not have expected, and it's changed your life. Have you ever had a car wreck? Car wrecks are kind of like that. You're driving down the road, everything is good, and all of a sudden, and everything's not good anymore. It just takes a moment, just a second, and everything happens so quickly. Wise people try to make preparation for storms that are coming. We are in a storm. This storm came up very quickly. It only took a matter of weeks from the storm being over in China to the storm being right here in Columbus, Georgia. Only a very short time between, well, that's not going to happen here, to all the restaurants being closed up and things being different and us having video church. In many cases of life, you're not going to see the storm till it's upon you. That's why you always need to walk ready for the storms. What we really want, we want to survive the storms. And so God tells us about survival. In verse 24, "And they came to him and woke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging water, and they ceased, and there was calm." The best way to survive a storm is to be prepared. And the very best preparation you can make is not to have Purell, it's to have Jesus. They tried to wake him. He was at peace. Even though the storm was raging all around him, he was calm. Now, they didn't go to Jesus expecting that Jesus was going to stop the waves and the wind. They went to Jesus so that they would have somebody else to moan with them as they went into the water. They didn't have the expectations of what Jesus could do. They didn't know everything about Jesus. But I will give them this. They were smart enough to turn to Jesus. You need to be that smart. The words used means that everything calmed instantly when Jesus spoke. Today you may not know everything about Jesus, but if you know this, if you know that Jesus is God and he came to this earth and became man, if you know that he lived a life of perfection, that he never sinned, never did anything wrong, and yet that he was taken and he was nailed to a cross, not for anything that he had done, but for your sin and my sin. He cried out, "Father, forgive them," as a cry of his heart. Jesus went to that cross so that you and I might be forgiven. If you know that he died there for you, that he was buried for you, that he rose again from the dead, and you are willing to invite Jesus to come into your heart, you turn from your sin, you turn to Jesus, invite him to come into your heart, my friend, you know enough to be saved. You know enough to have Jesus in your life. Now, Jesus rebuked the disciples for not having faith. Let me be clear. Jesus didn't rebuke them because they didn't have faith to stop the wind and the sea. Just as Jesus is not rebuking us if we don't have the faith to stop this virus. Our faith doesn't need to be in the wind and the sea. Our faith doesn't need to be in this virus. Our faith needs to be in Jesus Christ. Our faith needs to be in Almighty God. You see, He is greater than any storm. He is greater than any virus. He is greater than any difficulty. He is greater than any sin in your life, no matter what you have done, no matter where you have been, no matter what you have said. Jesus is greater. His death on the cross covers all of our sin. His death on the cross can bring forgiveness and can change our lives. Jesus can calm the storm. We need to have faith. Faith in Jesus. You see, Jesus rebuked the disciples because they didn't trust Him in the storm. Trust Jesus. Believer, you do not have to fall apart when the storms come. The world doesn't have to come crashing in just because there is another storm. In fact, we should be the people that are calm. We should be the people that have an answer. We should be the people that have a hope. Because we are the people that have Jesus. And so we come to storms and we trust the Lord. Yes, we make preparation. Yes, we do what is asked. Yes, we keep our distance. We do all the things that are wise that we've been told to do. But we mainly put our hearts and our faith in Jesus. We trust Him to guide and direct us, to tell us how to act in the storm, and my friend Jesus will bring us through. Let me tell you something you can know as a believer. If you have Jesus in your heart, He won't leave you in the storm. No matter how bad the storm gets, Jesus will be right there. He has said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." That's a promise made by Jesus Himself. Jesus can bring you safely through the storm, and all you have to do is trust Him. The way to survive the storms of life is to have Jesus in your boat. The greatest thing you can do today is to turn your life over to Him. Now, if you've never met Jesus, we want to give you the opportunity. All you have to do is be willing to turn from your sins and turn to Jesus. Allow Him to forgive you. Allow Him to enter your heart. Allow Him to save your soul. If you are willing, I promise you He's willing. And in just a moment, we'll have a prayer where you can invite Jesus into your heart. But let me speak to believers for a moment. Believers, we have a unique opportunity. We are in a storm. It's the same storm our unchristian friends are in, and we're the ones that are to give a testimony. We're to tell them what it's like to face a storm with faith, to face a storm with a God who is greater than the storm. Let's face this storm with hope. Let's face this storm with joy, even in the midst of the trials. Let's try to be helpful. Let's try to be encouraging. And let's try to point people to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We can do that. He will give us the strength to do that. Right now, if you would like to receive Jesus as your Savior, we're going to pray. And if you would pray with me, saying the words that I say, not to me, certainly, but from your heart to God, Jesus will come into your heart. Jesus will save your soul. Do you want Jesus? Do you really? He wants you. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, I need you. I know that I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive my sin. Come into my heart. Save my soul. Jesus, I thank you for loving me. I thank you for dying for me. I thank you for forgiving me. And it is in your name that I pray. Amen. Now, my friend, if you prayed that prayer, if you invited Jesus into your heart, that's exactly where he is, and you need to tell somebody. Call us at the church. Leave us a message. We'll get back to you. Let other people know that you now know Jesus, and you've got the best equipment you could ever have for the storm. Believer, if you've been away from God, this is the time to come back. This is the time to get your life squared away with him. All you have to do is be willing to be honest with God about your sin. Admit that you have sinned. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so if you will confess your sins, he will forgive you. He can restore you, and he can give you strength for the storm. No matter what the storm brings, Jesus is greater. Thank you for joining us today. This has been a difficult day, yes. Different day, yes. But it's been a special day and a day where we hope you've heard hope. That hope that is found in Jesus Christ. I hope that you will reach out to one another. You will encourage one another. Do what you can. Stay as safe as you can. And we plan to be together by being online next Sunday at the same time, 10:30. Join us for worship and challenge others to do the same. Goodbye now. And thank you.